Worms, Captain of Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number, if you don't already have it jotted down there, there's only one number you need anywhere in the world, is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. Real-time pain relief's got a deal for you. I wanted to lead with here because it's a real good deal. It's a wonderful pain relief product, and you can get some to try for a dollar. Just go to real-time pain relief that's connected to our website. Go to the homepage, and it'll be mentioned over there on the right. Go to it, and it tells you how all that works. And give it a shot. See if you think it's as good as we do. The other thing is, once again, for any of the information about getting my books, helping the Texas Organic Research Center, it's the nonprofit part of what all we do here that's involved in the research and information for people and trying to get the word out and help people with going organic besides just, the basic Dirt Doctor website. It's the one that has a whole lot more detail about the research side of the dangerous things and also the positive side of research that has gone on and all that. So click on the red button at the top of the page of dirtdoctor.com, get Howard's books, and it'll tell you how to do that and get bonuses of seed and membership in the Organic Club of America and help the nonprofit Texas Organic Research Center, or TORC, T-O-R-C. Okay, and before we go back to the phones, let me catch up a little bit more on the art stuff that I didn't finish. It's been a very sloppy way I've done it, but I have some of the photographs of some of my art, both on Facebook, both Facebooks, again, which I hadn't figured out how to keep straight yet, and also on Twitter. And you can click on the link on one of them to go to the other shots. And in the case of one of the Facebooks, I think they'll all just come up. I'll do some more. I've done more photography, and I'll put some more on there probably tomorrow as well. And you can see some of the stuff I'm doing. I'm doing painting on glass. I'm doing paintings on mirrors. A friend of ours that's in the mirror business here in town, Century Mirrors, has helped me with some scrap mirror that I've been playing around with. And it's an interesting thing to paint on and to do collages and various things because the paint won't adhere to it very well. In fact, I've already ruined one piece of art that I liked a lot because I – something touched it and pulled the some of the paint off of the mirror. So I've got to learn how to avoid that problem. And the secondary problem is I've already had some people interested in some of the art that I've got on mirrors, and we haven't figured out how to do prints of them yet. And I didn't even think about it when I was doing these pieces. Because there's no way to do a photograph of it without the camera showing in the mirror or, you showing in the mirror or get the flash back. There's one company that thinks they know how to do it with some angles and things, and they're supposedly getting back with me, and I haven't heard from them yet, but that's going to be interesting. Some of my favorite pieces I've done so far are on simply pine boards. The pine really does a nice job of holding the acrylic paint. And I really like some of the things that I've done with that. We're also doing some projects with what's called Euro board. I used to call it Masonite, and I'm not sure what the proper name of it is. It's a dark brown pressed material. It makes a real good medium. Of course, we're using canvas for some of the stuff. And we're also doing some wood sculpture again. I've got a piece of cherry, a beautiful piece of cherry that I've had now for 30 years. And I've been literally messing around with it for that long, and I finally got serious about finishing it and turning it into something. We won't have prints. We'll have some photography of it, like my photography in general will be part of the art studio. Some of the travels that I've done, we've got some really good stuff that I've never done anything with. And other wood carvings we'll be doing. But the latest thing, and we got into it yesterday, Tony Manasseri out in Mesquite, you've heard me talk about him. He's been involved in organics. He and his wife for a long time, their farm, and he's got a wonderful wood shop and has done a lot of things. And I hit him up the other day for how to drill holes in not wood, but in river rock, real hard, beautiful stone. And he wasn't 100% sure, but came up with an idea that we got into and found the proper kind of drill bits. You have to have the right kind of drill, too, to do it. And now I've got one of the stone sculptures finished, and I'll try to put it on the website for you to see tomorrow. Again, no way to do prints of those, but we'll at some point have a show. There is a possibility that we might have one this spring. Doug, my business partner, was going to look into the possibility of having some of the original art at the Mother Earth News event that'll be in Belton this spring. So we'll keep you posted on that, and if not, we'll just keep you posted on how you can get prints of some of the paintings and things that will be available that way. We got open lines if you want to jump on here. I've got a little Inhauer's Garden to do, but we'll have time to get to you here pretty quickly. 866-444-3478. Yesterday at the Garrett Ranch, we were primarily not so much at the office because the trees there are really different that I'll need to tell you about, because that subject of clean trees, clean plants came up. But at my house, we have messy trees. We've got American elm, big one. It was one of the five trees that existed on the property when we bought the property. We had one big American elm, and we had four live oaks, one of which I've been wanting to get rid of, and I've been vetoed on that by my wife for a long time. All the other trees, I don't know how many, 30-something minimum, I've planted on the property. So we have this huge leaf problem, and the biggest culprits are the red oaks, probably. Red oaks and some of the elms. Cedar elms aren't so bad. Some of the maples are pretty messy at this time of the year. And so, you know, we get into conversation about what's the best way to manage that. And there's some people out there in this business that give out really bad advice on that. They say to rake the material and put it in the compost pile is step one. And we don't recommend that. We don't recommend it because there's a better first couple of ways to go. And the first one is to mow and mulch the material into the turf. And a lot of people say, well, if you got a lot of trees, that doesn't make any sense. You're going to cover up your turf. Well, you stop when the mulching into the turf is starting to completely cover the turf. Up to that point, it's nothing but beneficial. It puts carbon back into the soil. It puts other nutrients back into the soil. It doesn't. You're not throwing away nutrients. You don't have to buy as much fertilizer and keep the same fertility level. You're not sending it to the landfill and clogging up the landfill and wasting tax money and all that kind of thing. So that's the best first step. But once the turf can't take any more, in some cases that's the case. It's the case at our place. We don't have very much turf. Well, then you do what we did yesterday. You have all the leaves on the patio, on the deck, or or on the driveway, which is the best place, and you grind them up there, and you do it with a lawnmower. You simply run over it with a lawnmower, and it reduces the volume by 70 or 80%, and that's the reason that you do that. And then you use the ground-up leaves in the beds over bare soil as a mulch, And then when you no longer need that, you can either keep it in storage in a pile to use later or put it in the compost pile as a major carbon ingredient in your compost pile. Well, related to that, my latest Dallas Morning News article is about clean versus unclean trees. I get that question a lot. What's a tree I can plant that's going to be, you know, a good healthy tree and relatively fast growing and blah, 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 but I want one that's not so messy. It's near the pool or patio and I need a clean tree. Let's talk about that when we come back. Howard Garrett, back with you right after this. Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your garden variety fertilizer. It's a specially blended product for vegetable gardens with a rich, all-natural blend that nourishes your plants and helps grow healthy, mouth-watering vegetables. It's simple to use and safe for the family and pets with no harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers ever added. Best of all, Espoma products are effective for your organic production. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Unibest International has a great new soil testing kit for home gardeners, agriculture and greenhouse producers, turf managers, and landscape contractors. Tests determine what fertilizer nutrients are needed and provide easy-to-understand fertilizer recommendations tailored to your site that will improve production and quality. For more information or to order your ready-to-use professional-grade soil test kit, call 877-535-2479 or go to unibestinc.com. That's 877-535-2479.
Glutathione is the body's master antioxidant. It's used by every cell in the human body, and it's especially vital for reducing the risk of heart disease. Reg Active's cardio wellness formula contains other ingredients that help maintain healthy cholesterol levels, support healthy heart muscle tissue, and help improve the lining of your veins and arteries all throughout your body. Be proactive with your heart health today. Get Reg Active cardio wellness formula at fine natural product retailers across the United States.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. We'll go right to the phone lines, but let me finish up on what I started there about the clean trees. My next column, I think it's the next one, that runs in the Dallas Morning News, and after it runs there, it shows up on our website for you, too. And it's on, if you don't take the paper, Dallas Morning News, it's on their website as well. But I wrote an article about clean trees, and it started by questions about bark falling off trees and all that kind of thing. And that usually comes from people with pecan trees worrying about the bark falling off pecan trees. Generally, it's no big deal at all. It's just a cosmetic thing. And pecans are one of the messiest trees, even though they're fantastic long-lived shade trees and produce wonderful food and all that. They're messy. They're throwing something down, you know, a good part of the year. And so people are often asking, what are some good clean trees that you can plant around the swimming pool? You know, people think that sometimes crepe myrtles are kind of clean. They're dropping flowers all the time, and some people don't like that. A lot of people think that live oak is a clean tree because it's evergreen. It is probably number one messy tree. And I love live oaks, but they're dropping an enormous amount of leaves at a time where none of the other trees are very much, and that's in the spring when the new buds are swelling and the new leaves are pushing out. That's when they're dumping all their leaves, but they also drop flowers after that, as all oaks do, and that can be really messy. I don't consider it a big negative because I use it in mulches and in potting soils and all kinds of things. It's a wonderful material. And then later on, you get the acorn production. In some years, the acorn production, like it has been this year, is just enormous, and it's a big problem. So you really can't put live oak in the clean tree category. Ginkgo, especially if it's a female like mine, you certainly couldn't put in that category. And when it dumps all its leaves, there's a bunch of them. Big tooth maple, I've always considered a very clean tree, but I learned something new, and I've been recommending big tooth maple for a long time. I have been just really naive and almost not thinking very well about big tooth maple being totally clean all the time. And what finally dawned on me was we had an enormous production of the samara, the seed, the fruit, on ours that's over the edge of our pool this year. Really messy. I like it because they're pretty and I don't worry about it too much. But I got to thinking, I said, well, my big tooth maple at the office doesn't have that problem. I don't see a messiness there at all. And it took me probably a half a dozen websites to go to finally find somebody to document what my assumption had just become, and that was that the tree's dioecious and has, you know, two male and female plants. And I had thought it was just the opposite, that they were monoecious for some reason for a long time. So it's kind of like Chinese pistachio. You don't know, and ginkgo, you don't know whether it's male or female until you've had it for somewhere between 7 and 14 years. And a lot of times it's not going to be old enough to be producing the fruit when you buy the tree. So it's a little bit of a crapshoot. What are the best clean trees? Well, I still put Big Tooth in that category because it's so fantastic. My the fall color this year just knocked your eyes out, the golden color. But the cleanest trees, and no tree is totally clean. All trees are dropping something sometime of the year. But in the cleanest category, you'd probably have to put the hollies, Yaupon holly, Savannah holly, East Palatka holly in that category, and also the cypresses, ball cypress, pond cypress, and my favorite, Montezuma cypress. And the reason is the fruit is not usually real heavy, and the foliage is very, very fine textured, so it doesn't make a big, huge mess. Still falls, still have to clean it up. But you can see some of my other ideas when that column comes out. It'll be the next column that I've written for the Dallas Morning News. Let's catch up with some phone calls. Let's see who's next. Al in Nacogdoches next up. Hello, Al.
Good morning, Howard.
What's up?
Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Hey, I wanted to give you screener kudos for being able to pronounce and spell Nacogdoches on the second try.
Okay, good. Way to go, Mary Rose.
Yeah, we got through that good. Okay, my question is, I have a very large old black walnut tree.
Okay.
It's probably well over 100 years old.
Oh, wow, good.
It's a big one. Been there a long time. So, but anyway, what I've been noticing with all the rainy weather we've had, the horizontal limbs, which are probably the diameter of a 5-gallon bucket, have a green growth on the top. It looks like a little fern, maybe 2 or 3 inches tall growing up.
Wow, interesting.
Wonder if that would be detrimental to the tree or not.
No, I don't think so. If trees that have some pretty rough bark, which the walnut does, will sometimes get some little growies going on, some little ferns and things. That means that, and you get pretty good rainfall, and we've had a heck of a lot of rain this year. But over in East Texas, you get even more than we get. I think it's probably just a cosmetic thing and not any problem at all. If you can get to it and with a ladder or something and take a picture and send it to me, I could give you a little bit more information. But I think it's just something you could enjoy as a decorative feature of the tree.
Okay, sounds good.
Send me a picture, though, will you?
I surely will.
Okay, thank you very much, Al. Appreciate it. And anybody can send us a picture. You can send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. If you got a question for me, it makes it a lot easier for me to answer the question, and I get a lot of good photographs that way, too. Thanks.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs.
They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Take this message to heart. RegActive Cardio Wellness Formula provides groundbreaking support for heart health. RegActive supports glutathione production. Glutathione is the body's master antioxidant, which is used by every cell in the human body and is especially vital for heart health. Glutathione affects how the body processes LDL cholesterol in a healthy fashion and ultimately supports the health of the heart by helping to improve the lining of the veins and arteries throughout the body. RegActive's Cardio Wellness Formula contains other heart-healthy nutrients that contribute in different ways to help reduce the risks of cardiovascular disease, such as B vitamins, including B5, which helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels in the normal range, and ubiquinol, the active coenzyme Q10, which supports healthy energy production in heart muscle tissue. Be proactive with your heart health today. Get RegActive Cardio Wellness Formula online and at fine natural products retailers across the United States.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All right, Howard, back with you, and let's get back to the phones. And next up is Mike in Ennis. Hello, Mike.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. I have a question about uncovering the flare of a tree, a magnolia tree. It's about 7 or 8 years old. It has good blooms and foliage.
Okay.
And as I was uncovering it, I sent you a couple of pictures, but maybe you haven't seen them yet. Uncovered a bunch of smaller roots, maybe smaller than your pinky finger.
Okay.
On the base of the tree, and they appear to be above the trunk itself, the main roots on the bottom. And I've looked at some of your YouTube videos of how to do it and stuff, and I haven't really seen any of the roots that look like these. I was wondering about whether I need to remove those or not.
When did you send the photographs, Mike? Was it yesterday?
Yesterday, I believe, early yesterday.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've got a ton of stuff on there. I just haven't got to yet. I'll look at it. My best guess, in fact, I'll look at it at the next break and see if I can find it. But generally speaking, when you have those small roots, then it's obvious that they're above the flare that are circling or maybe even growing in a spaghetti-like way. In general, we cut all of those off. We remove them 100%.
And that's what I think. But you wanted to kind of check with you first.
Yeah, you don't do any damage. You don't do anything but something good. And I'll, like I said, I'll double check your photographs, but I'm pretty sure that you can also have a third category. There's the spaghetti roots. There's also a circling and girdling root. And then the third category is called adventitious roots. And those are roots that are false. They're growing out of the trunk above the flare. Those others are growing down lower and coming up, trying to get closer to air because the tree was too deep in the ground.
Yeah, these all appear to be above the trunk itself.
Yeah, they all need to come off. You probably got some adventitious roots going on there. This time of the year, it won't hurt at all in any way just to go ahead and get all those off and make sure that the main flare going out is the dominant structure and it's left, you know, completely visible, well above the ground.
I haven't really gotten to it yet because I discovered these things.
Yeah, magnolias will send out adventitious roots when they're too deep. And the ones that come from the nurseries, we were one of the commercial projects I was involved in was Radio Shack, which was 40 acres downtown Fort Worth, you know, when I was the arborist on that project. And the contractor was planting a bunch of magnolias that had been designed in. And I told them that they were too deep in the container, and they thought, well, you know, leave us alone. We know how to plant trees. And I said, no, just humor me. Let's use the air spade and uncover a couple and see. And we took 10 inches of soil, 8 to 10 inches of soil off of the flares of the magnolias in their ball and burlap containers, you know, before they even started to be planted. So that's probably what you're dealing with.
Yeah, I'm sure that I planted this tree too deep myself because when I got it, you know, because I'm down about 5 inches when I discovered these things.
Everybody does it. I've done it myself. I'm still uncovering some of my trees at my own property. All right, get back to work, Mike.
Okay, I appreciate the help. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Yeah, that's very, very common. Here's Barbara in Fort Worth. What's up, Barbara?
I wanted to know what the low temperature would have to be for, and for how long to freeze the soil?
That's an interesting question. It is a little bit dependent on a couple of things. It's not just the temperature, Barbara. It would be how much coal we've had coming up to a low temperature. You could have an extremely low night, which we've had 23 degrees around our place already. Well, 23 degrees, if it was preceded by a bunch of cold weather, 23 degrees would freeze the ground solid.
Oh, my.
But the way we had it coming just out of the blue after some warm weather, you know, and everything, and it didn't even come close to freezing the soil. So it depends on how long the soil has been subjected to a temperature below freezing. You see what I mean? It's not just what the temperature is. It's how long it's been cold and how it has dissipated the stored heat in the soil, you know, from the roots of plants and just in the soil, the microbes and all that kind of thing. So it's more the year we had the really severe damage in the Dallas-Fort Worth area was 1983 and 84, and we were below freezing for a real long period of time, you know, several weeks. And yeah, we got real cold. We got down to zero and some real cold temperatures, but the main thing that did the damage was how long we were below freezing. You see what I mean?
Someone said it was going to get down to 11 degrees.
Well, 11 degrees will freeze the ground solid as a rock if it's been cold going up to that point. If it stays pretty warm prior to that 11 degrees hitting us, and then it warms back up, you're not going to have the ground freeze at all. You probably will have some damage to some tender tissue on plants when you have that dramatic a freeze and it's been warm coming up to that point. So there's good and bad news with either scenario. When you get a hard freeze and it's been warm, you're going to get more plant damage than if it's been cold for a while and everything's hardened off. So
all right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Bye-bye. It's a good, interesting question. And related to a bunch of plants, possibly. Let's see, what did I need to get back to talking about for you? Well, one thing I want to talk about, there's a lot of gardening books out there. Some of them aren't very good. And the reason is some of them out there, and some of them you hear about a lot, are into telling you to use high nitrogen fertilizers and nitrogen only fertilizers and pre-emergent herbicides and 7 and Dursban and Diaznon, and ruin the fact that some chemicals aren't around and available anymore. My books, and I got 15 of them. I got them on a whole bunch of different subjects. Cover the practical and sensible approach to gardening. It's not a secondary way to go. It's not an alternative way to go that doesn't work very well. It's just, you know, you can be more environmental and touchy-feely. That's not the point at all. You get that as a distant byproduct. The main reason that we recommend it is because it works so well. It works better than using the toxic chemicals and the high nitrogen salt fertilizers, which is what they all are. They're bags of salt. And when you put them out, they're doing damage to the microbial activity. That's why when going organic, using this program that we talk about, this natural organic approach, that's why it works so well. It's all about stimulating the life in the soil. It's getting the soil back to what nature intended in the first place and would have if we just kind of left it alone. It would be there. What we're doing with the organic program is we're speeding back to that point that nature would have if we had just continued, you know, to put the mulches back down and recycle stuff and not use up the nutrients that are in the soil. The organic program works as fast as the chemical thing. I think that's the biggest misconception of the organic program. A lot of people, even people in organics, will tell people that you have to be patient, you have to wait, it takes longer, and you don't have as much satisfaction as quick. None of that's true. If you use an organic program, we're right now working with a city to help a park, one of their parks, go totally organic, and it's been really interesting talking to the people about what they have been using in the past and the lack of knowledge about the way to use an organic technique and products to maintain that same level or make it better. And the one make it better that is a very big deal is water savings. The water savings from the organic program that we recommend is 40 to 50%. And it's been proven on a bunch of projects. The first project that proved it was down in Houston, Texas, of all places, Bayou Bend. I'm a Hog's old home. It's part of the museum system down there now. The curator was ordered to go organic by the River Oaks Garden Club. My buddy's in the River Oaks Garden Club down there. And he didn't want to do it. He said it wouldn't work. You can't do a fancy formal garden, 7 acres, 8 acres, whatever it is, with, you know, these organic techniques, this touchy-feely stuff. You know, what are we going to do for insects and diseases and this, that, and the other thing? Well, they made him do it. They ordered him. They ordered it done, and he became one of the biggest fans of all of organics a couple of years later because he kept records of costs on fertilizers and pest control products and all, but more importantly, water. And he showed, without question, this 50% savings in a water bill. Plus, the place looks fantastic to this day and still under the organic program. The only question was some of the disease control things on azaleas, and some people still, you know, are a little nervous about roses. But in both cases, the sick tree treatment, if any problems come up, and the use, when necessary, of some of the tools that will control the insect pests that are tough and the diseases, like the Pure Grow line of products now that we have, the BioSafe products that have the hydrogen peroxide products as part of their arsenal, and all the stuff that we've got tools that create a situation where it works as well or better than the chemical approach from day one. And that's a big deal, because when we're trying to help convert a project over to organics, we've got to keep it looking the same or better, and we've got to do it for the same price. The commercial projects have a budget that they've got to stick with. So the basic program we've got on the website, we've got in all my books, and it tells you what I would ideally like to see you do. It just gives you the best opportunity and gets you going as quickly and as possible with the biological activity that you need and healthy root systems and all that. But if you can't do that because of budget, there's always a phased back way you can do it and still accomplish the same thing in almost the same length of time. It's not hard to do. And, of course, that's what we're all about here. And if you want to talk about any issues that you've had, give me a call. I'll be back right after this.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? PureGrow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for PureGrow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at PureGrowUSA.com or call 469-423-0712.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available online as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Ladybug, a new Earth Natural product, provides high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and nutrient-rich magic sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we've got an open line, so jump on here at 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. A little bit more on this freeze conversation and hardiness, and then I wanted to talk about the books just a little bit more and the opportunities there. One of the things that comes along as a benefit with this natural organic program is more cold hardiness in the plants. And I think that you know, surprises people, and of course the critics and all, you know, they raise their eyebrows about that, but it's just a fact. There's no question about it. The reason that it happens, you get about one climate zone of protection more with the organic program. In other words, if, you know, you're trying to grow something that that says that it can take Zone 8, you probably can grow it in Zone 7. That's a, you know, real rough explanation of it, but more or less you can do that. You also get 4 to 5 degrees protection with the floating row cover that we talk about all the time, which is something that I recommend all gardeners have on hand and cover up their plants when there's going to be a really dramatic drop in temperature or some unusually cold situation. You can do an amazing amount of protection by simply covering the plants with this very inexpensive floating row cover and tuck the edges down so that, you know, it stays in place over the plants. But just the organic program gives you 4 or 5 degrees protection. Now, how does that work? Well, the way it works is that when you have healthy soil, when you are using the natural organic program and you're not using 2,4-D and Roundup and 7 and all this stuff that we, you know, don't recommend, the biological activity in the soil, beneficial bacteria, beneficial fungi, protozoa, the beneficial nematodes, all of the things that we want to have there and in healthy populations are. And when they are there in the soil, and the nutrients are more available, the trace minerals in particular are more available to the plants. You know, we don't have the calcium and the magnesium and all tied up because we're using way too much nitrogen by these high nitrogen or nitrogen-only products. And when all that stuff is available to the plant like it's supposed to be, you know, the major nutrients and the trace minerals, when they're available to the plants have bigger root systems. The roots itself, but even more than that, the mycorrhizal fungi, which will be thousands if not millions of times more biomass in the soil than when you're using the toxic stuff that hurts that life in the soil. Well, when you have that life in the soil like it's supposed to be, and by the way, we've got photographs of all this stuff in my books and everything for you as well. When all that stuff is there like it's supposed to be, you have higher levels of sugars, complex carbohydrates in the plants. That's where the great taste comes from, the taste improvement on crops that are grown with organic techniques. When the research was done in Hamilton, Texas, and we've got all this on both websites, Dr. Joe Bradford did the research. When that research was done, everybody involved in the research did not agree on what was the best organic program. That's what they were specifically looking at compared to a synthetic program. They didn't prove which was the best organic program, but they proved that all of them worked better than the synthetic program. And the one thing that jumped out at everybody was the taste of the pecans. And the way that happens is when the complex carbohydrates are getting in the plant like they're supposed to, that translates to a better taste, higher quality oils like the nuts on pecans or other things. But it also functions as a natural antifreeze. And that's why we have that additional hardiness protection when we're growing plants in soil that's healthy and the plants like it. So there's benefits all across the board. Let's see. We've got somebody that's called in. I'll go ahead and help them, and then I'll get back to what I need to do there. Steve in Rockwall, thank you for calling.
Hey, Howard. Good morning.
What can I do for you?
Well, I've got just a few little pine trees growing in an area where I'm clearing for a fence line. And mm-hmm. rather than cutting them down, I want to transplant them. Okay. It's something I've never done before, so I thought I'd call and see if you had any tips on doing that successfully.
We are in Rockwall, and we've got pine trees growing. What kind of soil?
It's actually... They're not in Rockwall. They're in East Texas, about an hour east of here in Raines County, and the soil is sandy, very sandy.
Okay. Steve, there's several issues here. Do you mind holding with me over
sure.
the break, and then we'll won't be rushed to talk when I come back?
No problem.
Okay.
Thanks.
Let me put you on hold, and we will have you first up. My books, I'll just say real quick, you can donate $50 or buy $50 of books to Torque and get a free membership in the Organic Club of America. If you do $75 donation or buy $75 worth of my books, you get membership and also the seed from Bob in my garden. I'll go through all my books this next hour and explain them to you and what's the difference in the different books. 15 of them. We'll talk about all that when we come back, so don't go away.